Well, this morning, as is always our custom, at least since I've been here, I guess, is to do a message apart from the series that we're currently going through. And so we're not going to be in 1 Thessalonians today, but rather we're going to be looking at really a thought around what should we be teaching our daughters. And as we think about Mother's Day, as we think about women, as we think about ladies, as we think about the challenges that our world faces and what our children are facing, what our girls are facing, what our wives and our mothers are facing. I felt like this was an appropriate topic to deal with. We'll be looking from several different passages in the book of Proverbs and looking at five specific verses from the book of Proverbs in a section of scripture there at what to teach our daughters. Before we begin this morning, though, let's begin with a word of prayer and trust that God will guide us and direct us as he sees fit this morning. Father, we thank you so much for today, and we thank you for the women, the ladies, the girls that are in this room and even in this building. Father, for each one of them, that you would give them the grace, the strength that they need, the wisdom each day. Father, the difficult challenges that face our women, our young ladies, our girls in our society today is overwhelming at times. And Father, I pray that you would help us as men to do what we can and what we must to protect, to support, to help, to encourage those within our assembly, those women that are here. Father, may you give us the wisdom that we need as we raise our daughters to become the women that you desire them to be, even as Dave read this morning from 1 Peter chapter 3, that our focus and our attention may be on the inward character and not as much on the external beauty. Father, I pray that the women of our church would know that they are loved, that they are appreciated, that they are an encouragement to us as men, and that we need them, and we are so thankful for them. So this morning, I pray that you would encourage us. For those, Father, that are here today with heavy hearts, maybe due to the loss of a mother or due to infertility, or due to being estranged from their children, I pray that you would comfort their hearts and that you would give them the grace that they need today. Father, may each one of us continue to find our satisfaction and our sufficiency in Christ. And in those moments where it is difficult to process and to think through the realities of our own lives and what has happened, Father, may you give to each the grace, the strength, the encouragement, the love that they need. We thank you so much for all that you have done for us. We thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us, and that we might place our faith and trust in him, for it is only through him that we can have a relationship with you. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen. We live in a world today that is constantly bombarding us with information. It is estimated that for every second, 1.7 megabytes of digital data is being created for every person that is alive. This is equivalent to a daily production of 2.5 billion gigs of data that is being produced, or roughly 30,000 gigs of new data being produced every second in our society. To put that into perspective, that would be the equivalent of every second 15 million pictures being produced. Or, to put it in another perspective, that would be the equivalent of 15 billion social media posts being produced every second of new data in our world today. In fact, it is estimated that in the all of the data that exists in our world, that 90% of it has been created in the last 2 years alone, and it's only exponentially growing and increasing. To put this into perspective, this means that every minute, Google conducts 3.9 million searches, while at the same time, Spotify streams over 750,000 songs, while at the same time, Instagram posts 49,380 pictures, while at the same time, there are 13 million texts being sent, and at the same time, YouTube users watch 4.3 million videos. Now, some of you have tracked along with everything I've just said. And some of you I lost at the very opening with 1.7 megabytes for every person alive every second. So some of you are going, yeah, I got nothing on what you just said. I don't know. It probably means if you're in that situation, your head is spinning. It may mean you still read the newspaper, you refuse to get a flip phone, and you probably don't own a computer. That's probably what that means. And that's okay. This is not a let's mock those that don't have all the updated generational devices. But the point is this, that is a lot of data. That is a lot of information. That is a lot of new material that is being thrown into our world. To think about 1.7 megabytes of data for every person alive every second is being produced. That is overwhelming, the amount of information that is coming into our world and it is being produced. And it is into this world that our wives, our daughters, our granddaughters, and our nieces are being thrown. And I believe I can make the statement pretty clear and pretty well authenticated. The most impact that occurs in our digital world today is geared at women. It is geared on how they should dress or how to pick up guys or how to be a better woman or how to be more beautiful or how to be this or how to be that. In a world that is bombarding them with all sorts of things, all sorts of information, most of it is not helping their character. It is not healthy for their character. It's interesting, as I was doing some research for this, one website that I came across on just a general search was a website I hadn't been familiar with, but it was a website entitled shoutyourabortion.com. And it is a website that contains, it's free access, anybody can go there, there's no limitations to an age or anything. Any person can go there at any age and find thousands of videos and articles that are written and produced and testimonials of women who have had an abortion and hear them describe in as loud a voice as they can, according to their website, why they did, quote, such an amazing and liberating thing as having an abortion. And so it is into this world that your daughters and your granddaughters and your nieces exist, and they have to learn how to navigate this. They have to learn how to take all of the massive amount of information that is being flooded into their minds and flooded into their eyes and say, how do we process this in light of Scripture? How do we process this by what God desires for us? It's amazing to me to think about. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, you are being taught. You are being given information. You are being bombarded with what people want you to believe and think. I believe the latest number, at least from a year ago, was that $8 billion are spent every year on beauty products alone just to try to make women look better. There is so much pressure that exists in our world for women. There is so much pressure for them to perform or to be a certain thing or to look a certain way or to be whoever the world imagines that they should be. And for those of you that are aware and aware of what's happening, aware of what's taking place, you know that just this week, the California Department of Education revamped their education system to include training and education for the kindergartners in California on embracing transgenderism. So that now from a five-year-old child, they are being conditioned to believe that this is the normal process of life, and this is the normal functions of life. And I stand before you today as a father of a 10-year-old girl and say, how do I navigate? How do I help her navigate her way through this world that we are trying to prepare her for and trying to allow her to engage in. And as I look around this room, I can see many of you with young girls that you are trying to raise and you're trying to bring up in what God wants them to be brought up in and how God wants them to be raised. And it's a daunting task to think about. It's a daunting process to think about. And so the question remains for us is this: if the world is teaching our daughters so many things, what can and should we as parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles and brothers be teaching and reinforcing with our girls? With all the information that is bombarding our girls, with all the information that is presently out there and continuously coming every second, teaching them and instructing them and encouraging them to be a certain way or to do a certain thing or to embrace a certain philosophy, what can we do? How can we instruct? What do we need to reinforce with our girls, our daughters, as we prepare them for the life that they are going to live and how they are going to function in this world? There's no easy task. I had a conversation with my daughter just Friday, telling her about, as she was complaining to me about the difficulty of being a 10-year-old, not from the world standpoint, but just from growing up with a father and discipline. I was trying to explain to her that, you know what? My parents had struggles with my sisters, but I think exponentially it's harder now to raise daughters in the world in which we live. But I told her, I said, here's the challenge. When you become a mom, it is going to be exponentially harder for you to raise your own children and to raise your own daughters. And so what do we teach them? What do we enforce for them? If there was anything I could impress upon Rebecca at 10 years old to say, as you have all these influences coming into your life and trying to impact you and change you and work you to what they're wanting, what would I say? This is what I want you to know. This is the heart of what I want you to be aware of. If I were to drop dead this afternoon, what would I want Rebecca to be able to take from my life and say, these are things that my dad reinforced for me? What would I need to know as a young girl in our world today? And to that point, we turn to Proverbs, and there's five verses between Proverbs 11 and Proverbs 19 where Solomon addresses specifically this matter of women and this matter of daughters and this matter of wives and all of the things that are going on. Remember, Solomon is writing this probably 2,500 to 2,700 years ago. This isn't like he's writing in 2019. He's writing this many years ago, thousands of years ago. And what does Solomon want us to know and want us to glean from the Word of God when it comes to the truths and the principles of what God desires for us? The first verse that we want to look at is Proverbs chapter 11, verse 16. All of these verses are going to be a comparing and contrasting. These five verses are going to compare one thing with another and contrast one thing with another. It's all going to be about a comparing and contrasting. Verse 16 of Proverbs chapter 11. A gracious woman gets honor, and violent men get riches. Some of you may have a translation that will word this a little bit differently, but the gist is this: a gracious woman gets honor, and a violent man gets riches. Well, there's a couple of different words that we need to clarify here. The first one is that of the word gracious. What does that mean? Well, this speaks of her demeanor, her character, her conduct, how she conducts herself, how she holds herself, her character as a person. The word honor, of course, is the word praise. It means she gets lauded, she gets praised. There's a praise for her character. But then Solomon compares this gracious woman with a violent man. And on the surface, it may look like Solomon is not actually comparing this fairly, but he says this, the second part of it, and a violent man get riches. The word violent means someone who strikes terror because of his wickedness. In other words, this is someone who is a wicked, evil, corrupt person. This is someone who is somebody to be afraid of. But then Solomon says the violent men get riches. If you were to look at this on face value and you would say, okay, a gracious woman gets praise, but violent men get riches. Well, I would like to get riches. I would like to have money. I would like to have those particular material resources. So how come Solomon is making this comment about a gracious woman getting praise, but violent men getting riches. Well, there's an understood word. If you have an NIV, it's actually translated in the NIV. There's an understood word that is the word only. The wording of the translation comes out like this: a gracious woman will get honor because of her character, because of her demeanor, because of how she conducts herself. A gracious woman will get honor, but a violent man will only get riches. In other words, Solomon is making a comparison and a contrasting in this first thought when he's saying this: a woman's character is more valuable than money. So our daughters are going out into our world today. They're going out and they're looking at, how do I make money? How do I sell myself? What can I do? What do I possess? Maybe I have business skills. Maybe I have entrepreneurial skills. Maybe I have some marketable skill and I'm going to get money. I want to make money however I can. Solomon says, okay, as you go out into this world, here's one thing that you need to remember. You need to remember this: women, girls, daughters, young ladies, your character is more valuable than money. It's interesting to note, as you look at the world of YouTube and YouTube channels and people who allow themselves to make money off of YouTube channels, and I don't actually even understand that world necessarily, but I know it exists, and I know people make a living off of YouTube channels and selling products or selling whatever they are selling. In fact, this all came to light a couple of weeks ago as Lori Coughlin and Felicity Huffman were caught up in the whole college scheme that they were going to, and how they were talking about how it affected their daughter, Lori's daughter, in the fact that her YouTube channel suffered because she was no longer able to have the products to sell that she wanted to sell, and how that impacted her. What does Solomon want our daughters to know? He wants our daughters to know this: young ladies, your character, your person, who you are in Jesus Christ, your character, your demeanor, your conduct is more valuable than money. So what do we need to do? We need to praise our daughters and reinforce for them that the fact that not only does God desire that they be gracious and have good character, but we desire that as well. We need to reinforce for our daughters the fact that, you know what, this is a priority in your life. This is something that we value. This is something that God values. This is something that we desire. But we need to praise and honor them for their character as it reflects Christ's character. They say that you get what you honor. So how do we as fathers, as I think through this for my daughter, how do I as a father say, how do I encourage and how do I reinforce for Rebecca at 10 years old that, you know what, your character is more valuable than any paycheck you can get from doing anything you can do to get a paycheck? Because we live in a world of reality that says there are women who are willing to sell whatever they have in any capacity they have to make money, to just earn a living, selling themselves in any capacity. And our daughters need to be raised and reinforced with this idea that your character is more valuable than money. But then look at the second verse. It's found in verse 22, just a few verses down. And this is a challenging verse if you're not careful. Verse 22, this is what they call tiptoeing through the daisies. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman without discretion. You say, wow, I have never read that before. There may be some of you that is the first time your eyes have glanced over that verse, where you sit there and go, that's in the Bible? Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman without discretion. You remember a few years ago when Obama got into trouble for saying, you know, you could put makeup on a pig, but it's still a pig? I don't know that he was trying to get himself into trouble, but you remember the uproar that came out of that and how everybody took that? This verse could be taken like that. If you're not careful, you could say, whoa, what's God saying? So let's look at what is Solomon trying to communicate to us in this verse. Like a gold ring and a pig's snout is a beautiful woman without discretion. Remember, all of these are comparing and contrasting. So what is Solomon comparing together? He's comparing a gold ring and he's comparing a beautiful woman. Okay? It's important to make sure you understand what Solomon is comparing. Solomon is comparing a gold ring and a beautiful woman. Solomon is also comparing no discretion and a pig snout. Okay? Do not confuse those. Because if you confuse those, you're going to get yourself in a lot of trouble. Solomon is not comparing a beautiful woman with a pig snout. It's important to understand what he is actually trying to communicate. Okay? He is saying a beautiful woman and a gold ring are to be compared together, and a woman with no discretion and a pig snout is to be compared together. Though that's important to make sure we understand what he's trying to communicate. So what is he saying about a gold ring? Well, that's an expensive piece of jewelry. That's something that would have value, that would have worth, that would be something that you would desire. And he's comparing that with a beautiful woman. That's the beauty of the woman. That's her the great value, something that is to be treasured. Listen, people treasure and value a beautiful woman. But as we're going to learn, as Solomon's going to explain, beauty is not just simply found in the external. 1 Peter chapter 3 makes that very clear. It's about the internal working of the heart. It's about the internal adorning of the character of the person, of that woman. And so we live in a world, as you walk through, how many magazines do you pass by when you're checking out at Meijer? And what is every magazine communicating, subtly or unsubtly? What are they communicating? This is beauty. And so the idea is, take that magazine, hold it up to yourself in the mirror and go, then I'm not beautiful, because the world is defining this as beauty. And what is Solomon trying to communicate to us? What is he trying to communicate to his daughters? What is he trying to have us communicate to our daughters? It is this. Just like a gold ring, which is valuable and worth a lot of money, is out of place in a pig's snout. The same way that a gold ring is out of place in a pig's snout is the same way that a woman who may be beautiful on the outside but has no discretion, that's out of place as well. In other words, what is Solomon driving at? Solomon is not wanting us to get hung up on a gold ring and a pig snout. Solomon is wanting us to get hung up on this fact. You can have a beautiful woman who has all the makings of what the world has defined as beauty. And if she has no discretion, she has no character, Solomon says, you might as well take a gold ring and stick it on a pig snout, because that is so out of place, and it's something that we sit there and go, why would you do that? Why would I take off my wedding ring? Why would you take off your diamond ring and go to a farm, maybe go to the Bowman's farm, and find their pig and say, you know what, I'm going to clamp that right on his nose. Why would you do that? Solomon says, you would be dumb to do that. Because those two things are antithetical to one another. Those two things are not congruent with each other. And so Solomon says, listen, the beauty of a woman is this. It is found in her character. So we would argue this, a woman's character is inseparably linked to her beauty. A woman's character is inseparably linked to her beauty. In other words, Solomon says this, you can have the hottest woman in the world. Whatever that is that you create in your mind, the hottest woman in the world. And if she doesn't have discretion, she doesn't have character, Solomon says she's not beautiful. She's not pretty. Yeah, you may enjoy looking at it, but she doesn't have the integrity. She doesn't have the character. She doesn't have the person of Jesus Christ manifesting through her in the form of her character and what she does. Solomon says that's what you should desire. So as we raise our daughters, and those of you that are raising daughters understand this reality, as they are trying to understand what is beauty and what makes them look pretty and how the world should perceive them and what is going on, we spend a lot of time, and we can spend a lot of time on the hair and all the external things. But Solomon's saying, you know what, to fathers, to husbands, to dads, to men, what should you be encouraging about women? You should be encouraging this. You know what? Your beauty is inherently connected, inseparably linked to your character. So we can stand up and call any woman who has character beautiful. Not because the world is meeting some standard of defining of beauty, but rather because we're seeing the character of God, we're seeing the character of that person being displayed in their lives, and we call them beautiful because of the person that they are, the character that they have. Our daughters need to know and be taught that just like an expensive piece of jewelry is out of place in a pig's nose, So a woman with no discretion negates the beauty of that woman. Our daughters should be more concerned about their character than they should about making sure their hair looks just right, or making sure they have their makeup on just right, or making sure their body looks just right. Our girls and our daughters should be raised with this concept that says, you know what, I need to ensure that I have the right kind of character in my life. Because the world is going to try to define beauty for you. It doesn't take too long to look around and to see all the different ways that our world communicates what is beauty. But our daughters need to know it's your character that is inseparably linked to your beauty. Then look in chapter 12, verse 4, just a few verses on down farther. Chapter 12, verse 4, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who brings shame is like rottenness in his bones. Again, Solomon is comparing and contrasting. He's comparing two thoughts here. The first thought that he's comparing is the word excellent and the word shame. And the second idea that he's communicating is the idea of crown and rottenness. That's what he's comparing and contrasting. An excellent woman is a crown to her husband, but she who brings shame is like rottenness in his bones. So he's comparing excellence and shame with rottenness and a crown. So what is Solomon trying to argue for? Well, excellence is the strength and the confidence with grace. It's this not talking about a performance. It's not talking about, boy, you did an excellent job on that paper. It's not talking about your performance in school or your performance at work. He's talking about your strength, your confidence, your grace in which you manifest your life. So Solomon is talking about the character, and the crown is the visible and public honor, or the visible and public display that she can bring to her husband. In other words, an excellent wife, a woman of character, when she is married, brings honor to her husband. Just like the king, when he wears a crown, everyone's going to notice that, and it brings attention to him, and it brings honor to him. Solomon says a woman's character, a wife's character, is going to bring honor to her husband. But, he says, in contrast to that, she who brings shame, or in other words, is lacking in character, or lacking in respect, or lacking in this strength and confidence and character of grace, she who is lacking in that, who brings shame, is like rottenness in his bones. In other words, it eats away at him, it destroys him, it ruins him in who he is. So Solomon says, you have an opportunity. Women, and when you are a wife, you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity to bring honor and praise to your husband, which hopefully, as a wife, no matter even how good or bad or otherwise you may think your husband is, you should still desire to say, I want to bring honor to him. I want to bring praise to him. By the way, he should be trying to do that to you as well. But the wife should be looking to say, I want to be a woman of character so that I can bring honor to my husband. But if I'm a woman that has no character, I'm a woman that is shameful, this is like rottenness to his bones. In other words, it destroys him. It ruins him. So our daughters needs to be taught. They need to be taught, and they need to be modeled this. A woman's character is a means of blessing others. A woman's character is a means of blessing others. How you live, how you are as a person, needs to be understood that that is a form of blessing to other people. In other words, it takes the attention off of themselves. What is our world consumed with? I don't know the statistics. I guess I should have looked them up. But the number of selfies that are taken, and nothing wrong against selfies, fine, whatever. Take a selfie, that's great. But the number of selfies that are taken indicates something to us as a society. We are consumed with ourselves. Like, we are so consumed with ourselves that we want to take a selfie. And especially young ladies are so enamored with this idea of selfies that all we're doing is we're so consumed with what we look like and how we look and how other people may perceive us. Nothing wrong with taking a selfie. Don't misunderstand. But the idea is this. When we look at our character as a girl, as a woman, as a lady, we look at our character, we need to look at it as a means to bless and encourage others. In other words, the beauty that we want to see within our character is now a means of being a blessing to other people, as opposed to the blessing or the praise or the honor that we may get for everybody telling us how pretty we are, or how beautiful we are, or how gorgeous we are, or how wonderful we look. Our desire should be to be a blessing to others. So Solomon says a woman's character is a means of blessing others. But then look two chapters over, chapter 14, verse 1, where Solomon continues in this discussion about women. He says this, "The wisest of women builds her house, but folly with her own hands tears it down." So Solomon has been making these points, and he's been making them fairly clear that a woman's character is more valuable than money. Her character is inseparably linked to her beauty. A woman's character is a means of blessing others. But now he tells us this, a woman's character is the source of her self-discipline. The wisest of women builds her house, but folly with her own hands tears it down. Solomon is insinuating to us this idea that where did this wisdom come from? Where did this character come from? Where did this desire to build her own house come from? It came from a self-discipline that she had that said, you know what, regardless of what anybody says to me, regardless of what anybody expects out of me, whatever my husband may expect or whatever somebody else may expect, here's my desire. My desire is to be self-disciplined, to build my home, to be able to edify my home. This isn't talking about the woman who goes out, chops down a tree, brings it in, turns it into lumber, and builds her house. We're not talking about the actual physical building of a house. What is Solomon talking about? He's talking about the whole of the home. He's talking about the whole of the family, that a wisest of women builds her house. She encourages, she disciplines, she engages with her children. She encourages and engages with her husband. She provides. Again, a few years ago, we looked at Proverbs 31, which I know many women don't actually like that passage because they feel like they could never achieve what Proverbs is saying in chapter 31. But the idea is this, a woman who is wise is going to be somebody who takes care of and manages and edifies her house. She has her home's best interests, her children's best interests, her husband's best interests. She is working hard to edify, to build her house. That's a wise woman. That's a woman of character. That's a woman of self-discipline. That's a woman who does not have to be prodded every day to do something. But then he contrasts that. But folly, with her own hands, tears it down. In other words, Solomon says that a woman who is unwise, a woman who is foolish, what does she do? She tears down her house. She destroys her family. She destroys her children. She destroys those that are part of her family. She has no regard for taking care of and managing and allowing her family to thrive and to grow. Does this mean that women are the ones that are supposed to be doing everything at home? No. Men, this is not an excuse to take that passage out of context. This does not mean that we come home and say, well, I heard a message this morning from Proverbs 14:1 that the wisest the woman builds her house. So, honey, let's see how you're going to do building this house. Probably not advisable for you as men. But what you should be doing is saying, you know what? I desire a wife. I desire a mother. I desire a woman who is going to have the initiative and the self-discipline that says, you know what? I want to help. I want to take care of things in the home. I want to manage the home well. I want to be able to edify the home. That when the husband or the children or the family comes home, they find a place of refuge. They find a place of encouragement. They find a place of strength, a place of grace. So our daughters need to be taught, and women need a model for them, that they are to be people, young ladies that have discipline of character, that their character is directly connected to her self-discipline, that she has a good character that is going to work hard, that is going to be engaged in her home and in society. Because as Solomon reminds us there about the woman's character, it is a source of her self-discipline. But then finally, look in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 14. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 14, Solomon says this, to kind of wrap this whole section. This is all found in about an 8-chapter section of the book of Proverbs. House and wealth are inherited from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Again, Solomon is comparing and contrasting two things. What's he comparing and contrasting? He's comparing and contrasting house and wealth with the word prudent. And he's comparing and contrasting fathers with Lord. That's what Solomon is comparing and contrasting. So he says, okay, when we talk about house and wealth, we're talking about material goods. Material goods are inherited from fathers. The concept that Solomon is getting at is material goods come from your earthly parents, your earthly fathers. They leave an inheritance to you. They leave houses to you. They leave money to you. They leave a legacy to you. Whatever they're leaving to you, they're going to leave these material goods. I have a deal with my parents. I've told them, I don't expect anything. Just don't leave me in debt. That's our deal. Go enjoy your life. Have a good time. I just don't want a bill when you die of like, oh, we really enjoyed life and here's your bill. I just don't want that. So we want to have a legacy. We want to have an inheritance. We want to have things that we're handing down to our children. That's a great thing. That's a good thing. Solomon's not saying don't do that. But he's comparing and contrasting house and wealth, material goods. It comes from your earthly fathers. That's an earthly source. But a prudent wife, a wife that has character, a woman that has a character, a woman that is manifesting the character of God, where does that come from? It comes from God. Solomon says this, listen, yes, hopefully a mom is modeling to her daughters. Hopefully other women are modeling to the younger women about good character. But where ultimately does your character come from? It's not something you could go out and buy. It's not something that you could go out and get. It's something that comes from God. And so Solomon says this, a woman's character is a gift from God. What should we be teaching our daughters? We need to be teaching our daughters, as Solomon has been drawing out for us in these different passages, we need to be teaching our daughters that your character is more valuable than money. We need to be teaching our daughters that your character is inseparably linked to your beauty. We need to be teaching our daughters that your character is a means of blessing others. We need to be teaching our daughters that your character is the source of your self-discipline. But the most important thing we need to be teaching our daughters is this, honey, your character comes from God. We need to be striving to train our young daughters to have a relationship with God so that they desire to grow up to not emulate Kim Kardashian or anybody else that may be the latest person out there, but that they are emulating Jesus Christ, that they want to say, I want my life to be an evident display of the character and the nature of Jesus Christ in all that I do and all that I say. That is countercultural. Remember all the bits of data? All the information that's coming, the 30,000 gigs of data that's being produced every second, I would dare say 99% of it is not teaching our daughters to have a good relationship with God so that you can have the display and the character of God in your life. Most of it is teaching them, hey, it's all about you, and present yourself in the greatest way you possibly can from a physical standpoint so that you get all the attention you can for yourself. And it's not to say that we want to train our daughters to be homely, ugly people. Sometimes people can react the opposite direction. We're not saying that at all. But what we are saying is, what makes a woman beautiful? It's the character and the nature of God as it is at work in her life. What do I want most for my daughter? I want her to love the Lord her God with all her heart, soul, and mind, and to display as best as she possibly can to this world who Jesus Christ is. That's what I want. Do I care what she does for an occupation? Not necessarily. Do I care how many children she has? Not necessarily. Do I care about a lot of other things? Not necessarily. Not as much as I care about. Rebecca, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and display the character of Christ to this world. Because Solomon reminds us, God's word reinforces for us this, that is what makes our girls beautiful. As grandparents, as parents, as aunts and uncles, we're facing a lot of challenges today. How do you navigate through this with your granddaughters and your daughters? How do you navigate the waters of society today with our young ladies? It's an overwhelming task. I believe it's actually easier. This is my own personal opinion. I think it's actually easier to deal with boys than it is to deal with girls. Not from the standpoint of personality necessarily, but from the standpoint of what our world is bombarding at our daughters. And what do we need? We need men. We need husbands. We need fathers. We need grandfathers who stand and take a stance and say, this, dear granddaughter, dear daughter, is what is beautiful. This is what we desire for you. That they know that they come home or they go to your house as a grandparent and they are reinforced from you that, you know what, your beauty is contained and inseparably linked to your character. And that is a gift from God. And that's what we desire for you, is to grow in your relationship to God, as opposed to being grandparents or parents who are constantly pushing our daughters to conform to the world's standards. Many of you know that we were in Denver for a number of years before we came here, and Kimberly grew up there. Many of you know about JonBenet Ramsey and the little girl that was killed some probably 15 years ago now. But the whole thrust of that family was centered around dolling that girl up at 4 years old with all the hair and all the makeup and all the dresses to make her look alluring at 4 years old. Is there anything wrong with dolling our girls up? No, heavens, we just had Easter, right? Everybody's supposed to wear cute dresses and fancy bows. I'm not saying don't doll your girls up. But if our focus as parents is this, you find your self-worth, honey, in how well other men look at you or how well other people praise you for your external looks, we're missing the entire boat when it comes to Scripture. As husbands, as fathers, as men, we better be in reinforcing for our daughters and our granddaughters and our nieces this idea: your character is more valuable than anything else in this world. The world is not going to tell them that. The world is not going to reinforce for them that. The world is not going to tell you, oh, good job for telling them that. Yeah, we want moral people. We want nice people. But the world also wants these other things. And it is into this world that God has called us, and he's called us to be countercultural. He has called us to be different. He has called us to be unique. Some of you may, I don't know how much you pay attention to things or whatever the case may be that you follow, but yesterday, I think it was yesterday or the day before, at Liberty University's graduation, Mike Pence spoke, and his comment that I read was this: you must be prepared to take a stand as Christians in a world that will persecute you for this. It was interesting to me that I don't know that I've ever seen, I think we've seen things generally broadcast. Like, yeah, you're going out into the world, take a stand, Jesus Christ is with you. We're not really sure you're going to have to suffer. The tone of what came out yesterday from the graduation was this: this is a certain fact that the world is not going to reinforce. And so what do we as fathers need to be doing with our daughters? Honey, the world will not teach you this. In fact, it will teach you everything opposite of this. And I want you to know, as your dad who loves you, who cares for you, this is what I desire for you. There is influence that a father has. There's an opportunities that fathers have to speak into the lives of their daughters, that older women have to speak into the lives of other women, that mothers have to speak into the lives of women. And we should be collectively and individually reinforcing for our daughters this: your character is more valuable than money. Your character is inseparably linked to your beauty. Your character is a means of blessing others. Your character is a source of your self-discipline, and your character is a gift from God. That's what they should be hearing from me and from you. If I were to die today and somebody were to ask Rebecca in 5 years at 15 years old, what do you remember about your dad? She, who knows what she'll remember, but I hope that when she gets serious, I hope that she could say, you know what? My dad reinforced for me the importance of being a character that is reflecting who Jesus Christ is. I hope that that's what I am instilling into my daughter. I hope that that's what you're instilling into your daughters. And I hope that collectively as a church, we're helping to encourage each other as we're enforcing that with our daughters and our women of our church. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for our young ladies that are here today. Father, as we think about the families that have daughters, what a challenge it is to know how to navigate, how to raise them and train them and teach them and equip them. 30,000 gigs of data a second being thrown at them. And yet you have given to us the resources, not just in who you are, but through your word, to help train and raise our daughters to bring honor and glory to you. Father, I pray that you would help us, help our young ladies that are here today. May they become women that have the character of Jesus Christ evidently displayed in their lives and in their hearts. We thank you for them. We pray for them. We want to encourage them. We want to uplift them. We want to help them. Father, help us to encourage the grandparents and the parents that are in this room to be faithful to reinforce God's word into the lives of our daughters. We pray these things in your son's name. Amen.